Hello and welcome to another hour of enlightenment with a conservative thought hour. We do appreciate your time. It's Carrie Black along with Rick Stannard. Hi, Rick. How are you today?
I'm great, Carrie. How are you?
I'm fabulous. We have another hour of great information, and we're so honored to be having Greg Stube. He's an attorney and United States congressman serving the 17th congressional district since 2019. Congressman Stube hails from Manatee County, Florida, and is the son of former Manatee County Sheriff Brad Stube. He's also a U.S. Army veteran serving in the Iraqi War as a JAG after graduating from law school from the University of Virginia. And he is married to his lovely wife, Jennifer, and they have one son together. And Greg, good morning. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Lots to talk about, Greg. We could probably keep you for hours, but let's go ahead and start with this. Just a little bit ago, we marked the one-year anniversary of us withdrawing from Afghanistan. We lost 13 service members. Can you tell us, can you describe the Biden administration's role in this accelerated, for lack of a better term, poorly planned withdrawal? What are your thoughts?
Well, their role was they were in charge and control of every aspect of what occurred in Afghanistan, from the fact that Biden's the commander-in-chief of the military down to it was his administration that made all these decisions. Trump had negotiated conditions-based withdrawal with the Taliban. And what's interesting is during the time that Trump was president, the Taliban didn't kill any service members because they knew if they did, there was going to be significant retribution and actions that President Trump was going to take. None of this would have happened if Trump was still president. Mm-hmm. And you could, any reasonable person could see the Taliban moving. Once we passed the deadline, the Biden administration completely reneged on the deal that our government had negotiated with the Taliban to leave by May. Once that had happened, you could see the Taliban taking over provinces and making their way to Kabul. It didn't take a genius to figure out what was happening. And this administration did absolutely nothing. They could have prevented it. They could have stopped it. They could have took military action, and they didn't. And I don't know if it was just their ineptitude or their lack of caring if the Taliban took over. And then all of a sudden, you know, days, you have the Taliban right outside of Kabul, and now suddenly it's an emergency. They're trying to get people out. The people they get out aren't vetted. There's still people not being vetted. Good guys get left behind. We still, as you and I are sitting here talking, we still have American citizens stuck behind enemy lines in Afghanistan that want to come home, and this administration isn't doing anything to help them. It was so bad that we had not-for-profit organizations trying to organize military veterans who had served in Afghanistan and had contacts there, their own missions, using their own resources and their own funding and their own planes, and then the State Department was actively trying to usurp civilians through not-for-profits that were trying to get in and get people out. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in the history of our country. I don't think we will ever see anything like this in the history of our country. The bomber that killed the 13 service members who recently we hit that one-year anniversary, the bomber who killed those individuals and like over 200 Afghan individuals, that very rarely does the press even talk about that as
right.
Well, was Biden released that individual from Bagram, and every military commander that you talked to said that they didn't advise losing Bagram. They wanted to use that because it was a bit bigger airfield to get individuals out instead of using Kabul, and everybody ignored them. It's just fascinating that there was such an ineptitude at the highest levels in the Biden administration.
Well, question, Greg, does that accountability go to the military, too, or is it just the political part of our government?
Everyone, Milley, Austin, the Secretary of Defense, all of them. And I will tell you that they will be all held to an account when the Republicans take the majority, God willing, in November. If we get the gavels in January, mm-hmm. we're going to be holding these individuals to account for the decisions and lack of decisions that they made in Afghanistan.
Well, I hope so. We've got a guy coming on very shortly named Stuart Scheller, who resigned his commission as lieutenant colonel to call attention to the failures of senior military commanders. And, you know, for a guy to sacrifice a career like that,
yeah.
he really had to have some strong beliefs.
Yeah, I served. I couldn't imagine serving under the current regime. I just couldn't imagine. Between the vaccine mandates and not letting people have religious exemptions to that, the purging of that type of thing in our military, they care more about woke gender ideology and using the correct pronouns in Army regulations and the safety and security of not only the American people, but our service members. And case in point is the 13 service members that died in Afghanistan that was completely preventable.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, Greg, let's move on to the economy and inflation. You know, it's been such a rough 20 months for all of us, for Americans under Biden's administration. Americans still struggling to pay for things that were more affordable under the Trump administration. Just recently, tuition bills are going to be forgiven. I mean, stuff that's happening now is just kind of crazy. Can you talk about some of the actions that Biden has taken that has led to these high prices and record inflation? And maybe what are they doing to help us? Because I feel like it's nothing.
No, everything they're doing is exacerbating the current and has created the current economic crisis that we're in. But let's just start with the student loan forgiveness. Let's look at it from the economic perspective. You're gonna forgive $500 billion worth of money during an economy that is inflationary. And even Democratic consultants and economists and people that work for the Obama administration are saying that this is going to further inflation by doing that. Then you look at it from the political perspective, and it's class warfare, where the Democrats are picking a certain class of people that don't need the money, using COVID still as a justification legally to allow for this to happen. Only 2% of college graduates are unemployed right now, and that's probably because they're choosing to be unemployed. So why reward that class of people? The majority of Americans, and I looked fact-checked this before we got on today, the majority of Americans didn't go to college. So we're going to reward people who went to college and only reward those individuals who likely just recently graduated, because if you have a college degree and you're in your career, you're probably making more than $125,000. So it's really going after a certain class of people based solely on who they are and they went to college and how much money they make. Not based on, one, a need, and two, the blatant giving out of money where you have hardworking Americans every single day that you're then increasing taxes on them. I mean, I could talk on and on and on about the economic policies that have driven us from day one, shutting down domestic production of oil and gas, which has skyrocketed the cost of oil and gas. And you know, you hear, oh, it's gone down, you know, 20 cents over the last 3 months. It's still twice as much per gallon
right.
than it was when Trump left office. So we're like, they're glossing over that fact that it's still, and that not only causes you to pay more at the pump, but it's causing your eggs to cost more, your bread to cost more. It's an underlying inflationary cost to all of these other consumer goods. And they want to dump more money on the economy. The last bill that they passed spent $80 billion just to let the IRS hire 87,000 new agents, and that's the combined staff of the Pentagon, the State Department, Border Patrol, and FBI combined.
Wow.
And that's where their priorities are. Not stopping the crisis on our southern border, but let's hire 87,000 more IRS agents who are going to be part of the deep state living in D.C. to go after average Americans, everyday Americans. And again, the facts show that this is going to affect low to middle income earners more than it'll affect the wealthy.
Well, I talk, Greg, almost constantly to our audience, to our listeners, and I listen to them. And generally speaking, to put a fine point on it, those people on fixed incomes for whom they could make it month to month are now finding that their fixed incomes only last them 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and they're starving after 2 weeks.
And this all started when Democrats took control. The first bill they passed was a $1.9 trillion bill to give out money to people, to encourage people not to go to work, which dumped all of that money on an economy. And then it was spending bill after spending bill. And then the latest bill that hired the 87,000 IRS workers spent another almost $1 trillion. It was $800 billion. Again, for their specific Green New Deal companies that they want to reward because they politically align with the Democrats' belief system and not helping everyday Americans. And it's actually causing it worse on the inflation as it relates to the economy for everyday Americans?
Well, I think you have to assume that the Democrats are not stupid people. They know what they're doing is causing problems. Yep. My question is, why do they do it? Why do they intentionally cause problems?
This last student loan bill, there's no coincidence that we're a couple months away from the midterm elections. They think by giving away money to a certain class of people, that's going to incentivize people to vote for them. Yep. So you're right. They're not stupid people. They do things thinking that people are going to vote for them because they're handing out dollars left and right. We're going to forgive your student loans. We're going to pay you more not to work than to work. All of these things, and they're still using COVID as a justification for that, despite the fact that they removed the COVID barriers on the border to allow illegal immigrants into our country.
You can't make this stuff up.
I hope you and your compatriots fight this student loan forgiveness, because it's quite obvious that the president does not have the power to do that. It must be right. A congressional work.
No, and what's unfortunate, we've researched this in the last couple of days to see what we could do as a member of Congress, but unfortunately the House has to take action. Well, they're doing it now because they know that Speaker Pelosi's House isn't going to take action on President Biden's forgiveness of loans. So again, another situation where it's going to require us to take the majority back in November, and then the House as a body can vote to what is clearly an unconstitutional separation of powers issues. The House holds the purse strings, not the president. The president and the Department of Education does not have the authority to forgive what is somewhere between $500 and $800 billion worth of student loans. They don't have the authority to do it, but they're doing it knowing that Congress, who would file a lawsuit on a separation of powers issues, is all run by Democrats.
Right.
Breathtaking.
Yeah. And speaking of stupid, I guess they think we're stupid because I think you mentioned it, Greg. They passed the sweeping economic package of, what was it, $800 billion into law. Which is concerning to us as conservatives and other people. This package, is it actually going to reduce inflation? Do they think we're dumb?
No, it's not. And I think they do think that the American people will. I think for so long the Democrats have just gone before the American people, and then it's amplified by the mainstream media, and they say what they want the truth to be, and in fact it's not the truth. So they're going to say, oh, this is going to, you know, the Inflationary Reduction Act that spent $800 billion on Green New Deal things is going to solve inflation. If they just say it, all the American people, I guess, are just supposed to nod their head and be like, oh, great, the Democrats are solving inflation, despite the fact that the numbers don't show that that's actually what's going to happen. And I think you'll see those numbers continue, the inflationary numbers continue to stay where they are or continue to rise, based on the recent actions that Congress and the White House has made.
Well, let's switch our thought process down to the southern border for a bit. What a mess that is.
Yeah. Well, so we've had over 2 million illegal immigrant encounters. The Border Patrol believes we've had almost a million what they term gotaways. So we've had over 3 million individuals come across the border illegally. This administration is refusing to deport them, despite the fact that over a million of them, and it's probably more now since I've last looked at the number, over a million of them have had a judge in our country say that they do not have an asylum case and have been ordered to be deported back to their country. They still haven't been deported. We've had over 56 known terrorists on the terrorist watch list cross the southern border. And when we had a recent hearing, well, it's probably been 6-8 months ago now, in the Judiciary Committee, Republicans asked Mayorkas, what did you do with these known terrorists that crossed the border? Did you release them into our country? And he refused to answer the question.
Oh.
So that should tell you everything that you need to know about what is happening at the border, what this administration wants to do. And everybody asks, why would the Democrats want our border to be open, fentanyl to be crossing, record drugs, record deaths in our country? For the first time in the history of our country, the number one cause of death between those between the age of 18 and 45 is fentanyl overdoses. And we all know that all the fentanyl is coming across the southern border. and this administration is doing nothing to stop it. Yeah. Because their ultimate goal is H.R. 1 and S. 1, which are their number one bills in both the House and the Senate, that would allow any person that is in this country to vote. So their thought process is political, not the safety and security of the American people. They don't care about that. Mm. They're going to bring as many illegal immigrants into this country as possible, pass their number one bills in the House and the Senate, and then all of those illegal immigrants will be able to vote in upcoming elections if they were to pass their legislation.
Absolutely. Greg, do you support the governors of Texas and Arizona shipping migrants to a bunch of liberal run states and cities? We've seen it on the news a lot lately, New York, Delaware, D.C. Is this just a political move or is it effective? What do you think about that?
I wish they would ship them all to Delaware and put them on President Biden's doorstep, to Washington to put them on the doorstep of the people that are actually making these decisions every single day, so they can see the impact that this is having on Texas and on the other border states and on states like Florida, who are getting secret shipments of illegal immigrants either by air or by bus, despite the fact that DeSantis has said, we don't want them here, that you can't bring them into our country. And I wish some more of our states under our states' rights under our Constitution would take more authoritative steps against this, not allow them to come into their country, to their state, push back on what they're doing. If they do come into the state, ship them back to Washington or wherever until they have the opportunity. They shouldn't do what the Trump policy was the stay in Mexico policy. So during the duration of the pending of their case, they don't come into our country. Because what this administration is doing is the moment they come into their country, they give them a court date for an asylum hearing, and 96% of them don't show up.
Yep.
Well, I hope when you take control again in January that one of your targets is a guy named Mayorkas. Because for a man like that to get up on television and lie through his teeth, yep, that the border is closed should be criminal.
Well, there's a number of criminal laws that they are violating deliberately and intentionally on the border every single day. And you have my solemn pledge, and I know Jim Jordan feels the same way because I sit on the Judiciary Committee, that one of the very first things that we will be doing is bringing Mayorkas in and setting the stage for laying the factual predicate of all the laws that have been broken on the southern border and then preparing an impeachment proceedings on him.
Well, I firmly believe that none of this is going to stop until people go to jail.
Yep.
Well,
otherwise, it's just a country club game.
Yep. Something's got to change because what the current direction of our country is not the direction that America wants to go.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we're all very apprehensive about where we're going. All right, let's switch gears. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour. It's Carrie Black along with political activist Rick Stannard. Our guest this hour is Congressman Greg Stube. Greg, thanks for spending time with us. Let's move on to the Second Amendment. The Democrats passed the assault weapons ban, the biggest piece of gun legislation, I think, in about 30 years. What impact does this have on gun owners, and how are they defining an assault weapon as well?
Well, they had an entire that bill only passed the House, and they literally laid out, I think it was 200 or 300 or 600 different specific types of firearms that they consider to be a quote unquote assault weapon, which the term doesn't exist. I can have an assault baseball bat. I can have an assault anything that you use to assault somebody.
Right.
But there was an entire list. But basically what it is any type of rifle that can accept a magazine that is a semi-automatic rifle, basically is what they banned. And shockingly, this passed the House. And what's also interesting that's not really talked about that much is embedded in that same bill was a 15-round magazine ban as well. And the magazine ban was not specific to rifles. It was everything. So what they also did was subvertly, quietly under the radar, also banned several different types of handguns that would be semi-automatic in nature that would take more than a 15-round magazine. Because if a 15-round magazine or more is banned, and hearings have demonstrated this so that people kind of understand, like a SIG 320 doesn't accept a 15-round magazine. It's a 21-round magazine. So you're invariably banning that type of handgun because it won't accept a 15-round magazine. So it's not just the assault, well, it's not just the semi-automatic rifles. It's also what they would determine high-capacity magazine handguns, but they did it in a way that wouldn't ban the actual handguns. They would just ban the thing that the handgun needs to use to be able to actually operate.
It boggles the mind, the complex laws they're trying to pass that just confuse everyone.
Yeah.
One of the things they're doing is going after guns through regulatory agencies like the Security and Exchange Commission through the new ESG regulations. They'll make it impossible for gun manufacturers to be in business.
Yeah, they're also using ATF to accomplish that. You're right, they're using the regulatory power of the agencies under the federal government to try to put firearms dealers out of business. I just had a call from a constituent, well, somebody he knew that was a firearms dealer and has been for, 20, 40 years, where ATF is trying to put them out of business. So they're using same kind of thing they're doing with Mar-a-Lago and the FBI and all these other things. They're using the power of the federal government to try to be able to accomplish political objectives that they know can't be accomplished through the legislatures where it should be. So like the student loan thing, shutting down domestic production of oil and gas, that would never pass even a Nancy Pelosi House because some Democrats wouldn't even vote for that. So because they can't accomplish it the way it's supposed to be accomplished under our Constitution through the Congress, they do it through executive action. And you've never seen so far an executive branch and a president move to use their power executively to try to accomplish their policy objectives. And it takes time to go through the court system to find that what they did on oil and leasing gas was unconstitutional, to find that what they just did on student loans is unconstitutional. In the meantime, the damage has been done.
Right.
Well, do you think, we're talking about usually about school shootings. That's the thing that gets the left all crazed. Do you think that teachers or school safety officers should be armed?
I absolutely do. Yeah. And I had a bill for several years when I was in the state legislature here in Florida. I had a bill that would allow for certain individuals who go through a specific training class, who have a concealed weapons license, who go through school safety trainings, who work in conjunction with law enforcement, can be former or current law enforcement, former or current military, to pass this specific training that could carry on our school grounds, because our schools are a gun-free zone. And I think the numbers are 78% of mass shootings occur in gun-free zones, and it's not a coincidence. If you're wanting to kill a whole bunch of people, you're going to go to a place where you know nobody's armed and defending the people that are there. And so instead of being focused on taking law-abiding citizens' guns away, what the Democrats should be focused on is the safety and security of our schools. For example, instead of hiring 87,000 new IRS agents, think of the safety and security of our school kids if we hired 87,000 trained and armed school safety officers to work in our schools. But they don't care about the safety of our kids. They care more about coming after you. They care more about illegal immigrants. They care more about all of these things that are not American.
Well, we're certainly living in unusual times, aren't we? I mean, this is not your grandfather's politics.
No, and the stakes are high. I mean, that's why I encourage people all the time, like, even if you're not big into politics, get involved, do what you can, encourage family members. You can't tell me that life was better a year and a half ago, or life was worse,
right,
or life isn't better now than it was a year and a half ago under Trump. And it's from crime, immigration, economy, inflation, what you're paying. I mean, we could probably talk all day about all of the issues that have changed because of a 100% democratically controlled government.
Yeah. Well, the game of politics has changed so drastically. When I was young, we'd consider the pendulum would swing from left to right, and it all worked out in the end, and you get to make laws this time, we get to make laws next time, and everybody was happy. That's not the way it is anymore. the Democrats literally want to put the Republicans out of business.
And they're stopping at nothing to accomplish that, even by breaking the law, like breaking our Constitution on the border to allow illegal immigrants to vote. And we should actually even have cities now that are passing bills to allow illegal immigrants to vote. I mean, it's just insane.
It really is, Greg. You brought it up just a little bit ago, and I want to be aware of your time. I know you have just a few more moments with us left. We did recently see President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home raided by the FBI after direction from the DOJ. Do you think our federal law enforcement is politicized? It's crazy.
It 100% is, and all you have to go back to is Russia, 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 and the Russia collusion hoax that was the fraud that perpetrated across the American people for 3 years during Trump's presidency before he got elected. And it was the higher ups, the people, the most highest in our FBI and intelligence apparatus that lied to a FISA court to get a warrant to surveil on people in the Trump campaign, all based on a false dossier that was paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yep.
I mean, you couldn't write a novel and make this stuff up,
right?
Even any more than what's actually occurred. And and what's so frustrating is because we've had a Democratic Congress ever since all of that's happened, there's been no held to account for all the individuals that perpetuated a lie on the American people, on the justice system, used the court to lie, to get warrants, to surveil on American citizens. And that's why it's so important in the midterm elections that the Republicans take the majority back in the House.
Well, you say you can't write a novel. I'm actually reading one. It's called Political Prisoner by Paul Manafort. And we've got him on our show coming up shortly after you. So it's an amazing story. What's happened to politics and what the Democrats are actually trying to do.
Yep. Well, Greg, we certainly appreciate your time. We want to be aware that you got to probably run in just a few. What would you say to someone out there? You just mentioned it, that people maybe don't want to get involved in politics. Probably it's more important than ever. And I just want you to drive that home to our listeners again.
Yeah, and if you want to contact us on the official side, it's stube.house.gov. That's STEUBE. On the campaign side, it's electgregstube.com. Sign up for our listserv. I help people all across the country. I was involved in some of these primaries in Florida that we had this Tuesday in congressional levels. And I also get involved in primaries and districts all across the country that we have to flip in order to take the House back. And I think Florida is going to be at the center of that. We only need to take 4 seats to win the majority back in Congress, and I think we'll win 4 or 5 seats just in Florida alone. So how important your involvement in Florida can be just to change the tide nationally. If Florida picks up 5 seats, we've taken the House back from Speaker Pelosi and have Republican rule just because of Florida.
Oh, amen. Do you think Trump is going to run again, Greg, as we let you go?
I think I would be shocked if he doesn't. But I think he's being very mindful of us being focused on the midterm elections. And then once the midterms are over, I suspect that he'll announce. He has not told me that. I don't know anything other than what people have read, but that is my gut feeling.
Well, I hope that he does run. And I hope when he gets seated for his next term, he improves what I consider his major failing in 2016, which was he didn't bring a big enough team into office with him, and he had to make do with a bunch of people like Christopher Wray and McCabe and mm-hmm. Comey, mm-hmm. and he didn't get rid of the major problems to begin with. So I'm hoping he comes in with a much, much larger team.
Well, I can guarantee you he's learned from those past mistakes. And because of the raid at Mar-a-Lago, people are rallying behind him because they see the complete injustice behind what's happening.
Absolutely. Yep. Congressman Stube, thank you so much for your time today on the Conservative Thought. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.